morning, everyone. Today I will be presenting on the turfgrass disease anthracnose caused by the fungal pathogen Colletotrichum cereale, where we can see signs of the pathogen here as a cervuli on an annual bluegrass putting green plant, which is the predominant turfgrass species in the Pacific Northwest, and the host that I will be focusing on today, Poa amnio reptans, the perennial biotype of annual bluegrass. The environment that we experience for anthracnose in the Pacific Northwest, particularly at the Lewis Brown Horticulture Farm in Corvallis, Oregon, are dry conditions. Corvallis is quite famous for not having any rainfall at all throughout the months of July and August, so it gets very dry. And this trial took place over 2 years, in 2015 and 2016, and I'm pointing out the high temperatures that we were able to observe in those years. In 2015, we're in the high 20s in June, July, and August. In 2016, it was a little bit more mild. We did not get into the high 20s until the month of August. And that will become important when I talk about the amount of disease pressure that we observed in this trial. So with Colletotrichum cereale, Poa amnio reptans, in a hot and dry climate, we often get anthracnose symptoms, as we can see here. And golf course superintendents will often apply fungicides to control this disease. Although there's a little bit of concern now because we're seeing some resistance with the thiophanic methyl chemistries and also with some strobilurin chemistries. And in addition, there's some legislation that golf course superintendents are getting concerned about just worldwide. Notably, in 2008, there was a cosmetic pesticide ban in Canada and in Ontario specifically, and we get a lot of funding from Canada superintendents to try to find ways of mitigating fungicide use. In France, where I previously worked, we had to close the golf course between 6 and 48 hours every time a fungicide was applied. And closer to home in San Francisco, the golf courses that are owned by the public, they only have a very limited IPM list, so they need to find products that they can rotate with or maybe eliminate fungicides altogether. So this trial that I'm going to talk about today really came from another trial I was working on to remove dew. And what this dew removal trial took place from the beginning of October until the end of May over 2013 and 14. And one of the applications I was using was the alkyl terminated block copolymer called Revolution, and I was applying it 19 liters per hectare twice a week. This is eight times the label rate, but it was very effective at removing the dew. And so what happened at the end of this trial is that we had a really warm June, and there was anthracnose throughout this entire trial that I had previously done for dew removal, so there was no fungicides applied at all. And in all four plots of the Revolution application among the trial, there was no anthracnose observed. So this was really striking to us. For that reason, we wanted to see if we could find label rates or frequencies of Revolution that would be effective at managing anthracnose. And we also wanted to see if another combination, perhaps with spring chlorification that we had previously anecdotally observed to reduce anthracnose, if maybe these together could have any interactions so that we could find a rate that would work. Therefore, we set up a 2x8 randomized complete strip plots design with two factors, chlorification or soil surfactant rates and frequencies, and I will go through the levels in the next following slides. It had four replications, and the trial was done over 2 years from the beginning of February until the end of September of each year, 2015 and 16. So the first factor had two levels, chlorification, which took place, I can see it on my screen, which took place on the 15th of April in 2015 and on the same date in 2016. And the other level was not aerified. There was eight levels of the Revolution application. The 19 liters per hectare of Revolution applied twice a week. I'm highlighting in red as this was the previous rate that we had observed to suppress anthracnose on that dew removal trial. I applied that 19 liters per hectare once a week, every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, and I'm highlighting the following three in purple as these are the label rates. 9.5 liters per hectare of Revolution every 2 weeks, and then that 4.75 liters per hectare applied once a week. Finally, there was a control treatment with no Revolution applied. So the idea that a lot of the trials that I do are fungicide-free, but this trial became quite precarious as we were getting a lot of fruit fungi, such as cool season brown patch and fairy ring. So for that reason, I looked into the literature and found that flutolinil doesn't have any activity on anthracnose, and therefore I applied a curative treatment on the 11th of May in 2015, and I applied another preventative treatment on the 29th of August 2016 to do the same thing over both years. Unfortunately, this past August, we got another outbreak. Indeed, this photo was taken this August, and I then did another curative application at the same rate of flutolinil in 2016 in August. So the other materials and methods interesting to this trial is I had 1.5 square meter as an interaction plot size. That's where the aerification and the Revolution word overlap. The total trial area was 96 square meters, and I applied the Revolution using a CO2-powered backpack sprayer at 2.8 bars of pressure and 814 liters per hectare of carrier volume. The green was maintained 5 days a week at 2.8 millimeters, and irrigation was applied on a daily basis with an automatic overhead irrigation system to replace 80% of valuable transpiration on a daily basis. Fertilization was moderate at 9.8 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare every 2 weeks using a compound fertilizer, including micronutrients. So data collection. On a monthly basis, I collected lightbox photos with the intention of running these with the computer program to analyze percent disease to build area under disease progress curves. On a weekly basis, I collected volumetric water content percentage, and I collected turfgrass quality ratings. Statistical analysis was done with R version 3.30. The lightbox photos were a little bit problematic because we had some remnants of the cool season brown patch, fairy ring, and even a little bit of dollar spot. And for that reason, when anthracnose disease was present, I used the SigmaScan Pro version 5 to overlay a 100-point grid onto the lightbox photos, and with that, I was able to calculate percent disease for each of the lightbox photos. And with those lightbox photo grid count data, I built area under disease progress curves, and I tested them for assumption of homocysticity, which they failed. Therefore, I did a log transformation, and after log transformation, they were able to pass the assumption of homocysticity. Therefore, the area under disease progress curve data is analyzed with this log of the area under disease progress curve. The original area under disease progress curve's numbers are placed in the original scale, but the analysis was done in the log transform scale. So the first data point that I'm going to talk about is area under disease progress curve. So I analyzed with both years together and found main effect differences for year and also for the interaction of year and treatment. For that reason, I separated from by year one and year two. In year one, I found only a main effect difference for treatment, and I'm going to talk about that first. So in 2015, for area under disease progress curve, with analysis of the log data, the area under disease progress curve's numbers are the original is the original data. That 19 liters per hectare applied twice a week, which was also the original rate that I previously observed, was significant compared to the untreated with a very low area under disease progress curve number. Three other treatments were significantly different, 19 liters per hectare applied once a week, and also 4.75 liters per hectare applied once a week, which I'm pointing out is a label rate and also had over a two-third reduction in area under disease progress curve number compared to the untreated in that first year. Another treatment that was effective compared to the untreated was 19 liters per hectare applied every 2 weeks. Looking at photos of those treatments, the highlighted in red are the three treatments that were not label rates, and in the bottom, the purple block is the one that was significantly different and also a label rate. So just looking at the label rate compared to the control, there was a little bit of anthracnose observed, and you can see that there was, you know, still quite a bit of area under disease progress curve numbers, but it was significantly different compared to the control, and it would be considered a label rate. In the second year, there was also a significant difference for treatment alone, or only treatment. And for that reason, I am just showing you a means table because there wasn't a lot of pressure in 2016, and due to lack of time, I don't want to show a lot of photos. I have some at the end if someone wants to look at them. So regardless of rate or frequency in this low-pressure year, anthracnose was able to be suppressed with a revolution at all rates and frequencies in this trial. Another thing that golf course superintendents do is they apply revolution in order to improve their irrigation. So for that reason, I want to take volumetric water content. So I took an average of 5 sub-samples per plot using a field scout with 50-millimeter probes. And I took the average volumetric water content percentage for each plot, starting at the aerification timing, which was the 15th of April, until the end of September for each individual year. And that is the data that I was analyzing. So an analysis of variance showed that there was a significant difference between year treatment and year in aerification. For that reason, I separated again by years. In year one and in year two, I found only a treatment difference with volumetric water content percentage. And for the first year, I will be presenting only the first year data because I don't have time today to do both, but I have the data at the end of this slide. So the volumetric water content percentage, the thing that I would really like to point out is that the range highlighted here in a blue box was only from 29 to 34% using this revolution application. Therefore, the idea that I originally had that maybe it was maybe improving the wettability of the irrigation and perhaps changing the environment is probably not the case because the moisture stress at these levels is probably not happening between 29 and 34. This is pretty wet conditions. So it is interesting, however, to point out that that rate that was effective for the area under disease progress curve was 19 liters per hectare applied twice a week and happened to have been at the lower end of the volumetric water content. And also that label rate of 4.75 applied once a week was also at the lower end of the volumetric water content. So that was getting me thinking perhaps there's a relationship between volumetric water content and area under disease progress curve. For that reason, I wanted to see if there was a relationship, and indeed there was not really one. as the R squared is 0.04 and the slope is extremely flat. Therefore, this data does not suggest that there's a relationship between the volumetric water content and area disease progress curve. So the final data point that I was looking at was turfgrass quality ratings. So I was using the NTEP scale from a rating of 1 to 9, with a 6 or greater being considered acceptable. And I analyzed the turfgrass quality at the peak of disease. So the first year in 2015, the peak was on the 8th of September. And in that second year, it was a light year, so that actually the peak was not until the end of September of that year. I decided to run the data using Kruskal-Wallis because it doesn't really fit normal data, so I used a non-parametric data analysis, and I used Dunn's all-pairwise comparison at an alpha level of 0.05. And there was a significant difference, so I'm going to present the Dunn's table now. So using turfgrass quality ratings, using that Dunn's test, the 19 liters per hectare applied twice a week was significantly different from the untreated, with a turfgrass quality rating of 6.6. The second treatment that was significantly different compared to the control was the 19 liters per hectare applied once a week with a turfgrass quality rating of 5.0. So looking at turfgrass quality, the two red squares, I outlined the two treatments that were significantly different compared to the control. And the percentages in the top right corner of the boxes is the percent disease that was observed at the peak of disease. So on the 8th of September of 2015, in that high disease pressure year, that 19 liters per hectare applied twice a week only had 0.3% disease. And for that reason, it had a turfgrass quality of 6 or a little bit better. Not a really high number, but still, you know, 0.3% disease would be considered acceptable to many superintendents in a fungicide-free program. However, this is a 8x label rate, again. That 19 liters per hectare applied once a week had already 4.4% disease, and you can look among the other treatments just how much disease they were having, with the control at that peak having nearly 25% disease. Another reason why the treatment that 19 liters per hectare applied twice a week did not have a turfgrass quality rating extremely high was because we were getting a bit of yellowing. Remember, this is the 8x rate. And so those yellowing are outlined here in the black squares. So this is something we were concerned about going in, spraying at this 8x rate. But we were very happy that we were able to, the data suggested that 4.75 liters per hectare once a week would also suppress disease a little bit, and it did not have any yellowing. I had no yellowing on any treatment other than this 8x rate. So in conclusion, this trial does suggest that Revolution was able to suppress anthracnose severity in both years of this study on an annual bluegrass putting green, and remember this was in Western Oregon, and there is suggestion that spring core aerification did not affect the severity of anthracnose in either year of the study, but with using Arian disease progress curve as our data collection. In future trials, we ended up doing this. I had originally started in October, and I wanted to see if I could maybe start a little bit later, so I started this trial in February. So I did the February till the end of September. And it's likely that it would be interesting to do a trial that maybe started in March, April, or May, or maybe even as late as June. And then, of course, it would be interesting to test different surfactant chemistries to see if we would have the same kind of conclusion. With that, I would like to thank the people who sponsor our work and to see if there's any questions. So the question is, am I sure that Revolution doesn't have any fungicidal qualities? And no, I'm not sure. A logical next step would be to go into the lab and to maybe do, like the previous presenter had mentioned, to maybe try to grow it out into PDA and see how Revolution is affecting the fungus. I would speculate it does affect the fungus in some way, and I think the next step would be go to the lab. So that's an excellent point.
Thank you. We have time for another question or two?